You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. When we talk about Wisconsin's economy, we often compare it to Minnesota's economy, their neighboring states with similar population sizes and a number of overlapping industries. And in those comparisons, Wisconsin often comes up short.
That comparison then gets made on a political level, often by Governor Walker's critics who say, hey, Democrats in control of Minnesota, things are doing well. Republicans in control of Wisconsin, they get the blame for the state falling behind.
Our next guest says that comparison is unfair and that the differences between the state's economies date back farther than the past decade and have a lot to do with one factor in particular, the Twin Cities.
Here with us now is Dale Knapp, Research Director at Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. His recent report is called Two State Economies, One Rare Metro. Dale, welcome back to Central Time.
Glad to be here this afternoon.
Well, Dale, people often point toward Wisconsin and Minnesota as being pretty similar, you know, same ballpark for population, same ethnic makeup, similar histories, things like that. There are some similarities, but you say there are some key differences we shouldn't overlook.
Yeah, but as you mentioned in the intro, you know, there have been all of these comparisons of Wisconsin to Minnesota, and they tend to be very short term. And in a lot of the work that we've done on the state's economy, we know that really this goes back a lot further. And so we decided to dig in a little bit deeper. And, you know, we really looked, back to the early 1900s, really. And what you find is there was Wisconsin was generally outperforming Minnesota until the mid-1960s. And there was a shift at that time. And so this lag of Wisconsin lagging Minnesota, is not the last 4 years, the last 10 years. It dates back to the mid-60s. And there's a couple of factors. There's a lot of factors that go into it, but a couple that we identified that were really important. And they're kind of related as well. But one is industry mix. If you look at the most important industries in the two states in the mid-1960s, Minnesota was, and it wasn't necessarily on purpose, but they were better prepared to deal with the economies of the 80s and 90s than we were. Eight of our top 10 industries were in manufacturing. And it continues to be an important industry for us. But we know that manufacturing employment over the past 30 years has lagged. And so as manufacturing has lagged, job growth has lagged here in Wisconsin.
So Wisconsin, I want to jump in, Dale, has followed kind of what you'd call the Rust Belt pattern, I guess, where big manufacturing industries that were key to our state and a lot of the Midwest and Western Pennsylvania, Western New York, other places like that, went into a decline. We were part of that bigger story in Wisconsin.
We were part of that. And if you look at the impact, for example, of the big 1980s recession, we were much more impacted than Minnesota was. And it had to do with the kinds of manufacturing that we had and our reliance on it. If you looked at Minnesota's key industries at the time, only 5 of 10 were in manufacturing, and one of theirs was health services, which we know as we move through the 80s and 90s became very important. And one of their key manufacturing industries was one that actually defied all of the other manufacturing. It was in instruments, and the computer boom really benefited that industry. So they were, by accident or whatever, they were better set up to deal with the economies moving forward. But as you mentioned, the other thing that's often forgotten is the impact of Minneapolis on Minnesota's economy and really the unusual growth that it's seen. We looked at job growth of the 30 largest metro areas, and to be clear, this isn't just the city of Minneapolis. We're talking about the metro area, mm-hmm. as we would talk about Metro Milwaukee, which includes Waukesha County, Ozaukee County, Washington County, etc. You looked at the top 30 largest metro areas, 1969 to 2013 job growth, Minneapolis grew the ninth fastest, which when you look at the top growers, they're generally in the South, Houston and Dallas and Atlanta and Miami, San Diego. So they really, for a northern city, their growth was very unusual.
We're talking to Dale Knapp right now with Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. He's telling us a tale of two states, Wisconsin and Minnesota, why their economies diverged about, 30, 40 years ago. And we're getting into the role now that the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and their region play in that story. So, Dale, you were just saying, Minneapolis, the greater region, growing while other cities in our region were declining in economies. What was it about the Twin Cities that made it different than its peers in the Midwest and in the northern U.S. in general?
Well, it's sort of uniquely located in that it's not right next to Chicago, for example, that we are. And so it's sort of the gateway to the West to some degree. It was large enough to attract a lot of industry, and in particular, corporate headquarters. It became a very attractive city for many corporate headquarters. The other thing that Minneapolis had that, for example, the metro that Wisconsin doesn't have, Metro Milwaukee doesn't have, all in one metro area, they have the bulk of their industry. They have state government, and they have their big research university. So all in one metro area, all playing off of each other to some degree. And I think that was a big advantage where, our big metro area, big source of industry is Metro Milwaukee. And, 90 miles away, we have Madison, the state capital, and the University of Wisconsin. So I think they were able to take advantage of having all of those in one metro area.
And in your report, you say the Twin Cities plays this really outsized role. When we're talking about Minnesota's economy, in many ways, we're talking about the Twin Cities region and how it drives that economy, and there's not a comparable place cluster here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, when people think about Wisconsin, what's the driver? We always think of the Metro Milwaukee area, southeastern Wisconsin, and it has been historically the big driver of industry. But it's only about a third of the state's economy. Our economy is very spread out. We have the La Crosse and the Eau Claire and the Green Bay areas, et cetera. 70% of jobs are located in the Metro Minneapolis area. So as Minneapolis goes, really so goes Minnesota. And we talked about the outside growth of Minneapolis. That's really driving the state. If you look at the rest of the state, growth is very mediocre.
We've talked to guests in the past who say Milwaukee, over the years, hasn't gotten enough love from the state government, whether Republicans or Democrats are in charge. I mean, I know you don't necessarily prescribe a lot in this report, but is that one thought that we should be trying, putting a priority on developing Milwaukee in hopes of driving the state's job picture in general?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, priority, I'm not sure how it should be a priority, as opposed to other areas. But I do think that we have to figure out a way to get the metro area's economy going again. We've done a number of studies over the past 5 or 7 years on Wisconsin's economy, and the one thing that consistently shows up is that the metro Milwaukee area, the southeastern Wisconsin area, has really been lagging, in job growth, in population growth, in all of those measures. And because it is such a big part of the state's economy, we do have to find a way to get it back on track and get that area booming again. Because if we can get that part of the state booming, the rest of the state will move along with it.
Is there some way to say conceptually, maybe practically, okay, we've got a triangle of Madison, Milwaukee, and Green Bay, and throw the Fox cities. There are three most populated cities, and to try to make that one economic region, or is the geography too big? Is that too wide an area to make a functional area like the Twin Cities region is?
I think it's too big of an area. essentially, the way to think about this is the Minneapolis metro area is like a mall. And so you have all of these various industries, stores, in one area, taking advantage of all of the traffic that comes through there, sharing costs, sharing a very skilled labor force. Wisconsin is more like a city with retailers here and there and all over the place. And so they don't get to take advantage of a lot of that nearness that Minneapolis provides. So, it's difficult to, share costs and share those kinds of things, workforce, et cetera, when you're 90 minutes, 2 hours away. So I think that is a real challenge.
We're talking to Dale Knapp, Research Director at the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. His new report suggests that the economic differences between Wisconsin and Minnesota have more to do with the concentration of government and industry in the Twin Cities than the partisan makeup of state governments on either side of the border.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Does that ring true to you? Do you think Wisconsin should focus on building up one urban area? What do you think would help make Wisconsin more competitive with Minnesota? Call 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation now with Dale Knapp, Research Director at the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. His new report suggests that the economic differences between Wisconsin and Minnesota have more to do with the concentration of government and industry in the Twin Cities than they do with the current state governments and their partisan makeup.
We'd like to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. Do you agree with that? Does that ring true? Do you think Wisconsin should try to somehow recreate what's going on across the border there? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. We've got Robert on the line in Green Bay. Robert, hi.
Hi. My question is, I've always heard this same situation where, well, yeah, it's because Minneapolis that's the real reason, but there's been other things that our state, they've got more jobs than us, they've taken a more liberal act towards their prisons and a lot of, used education more and saved millions of dollars doing that. They're trying light rail. We're getting rid of light rail. And if they're doing something that's not and saying, well, we're just stuck on the Rust Belt, I thought we were open for business and we were supposed to have a development group that were going to bring jobs in here that turned out they were wasting money. If you have a car you're building and someone comes up with a minivan, then you make a minivan. You don't make up excuses. Then promote those same kinds of businesses they have and bring them in. Don't say, well, we're stuck in a rust belt. And, numbers don't lie. People do, and the numbers are beating us. That's my point.
Robert, thanks a lot for the call. So, does policy matter, Dale? He's saying, hey, investment in future education over there, they're intentionally working with new industries, new kinds of infrastructure. We're not. That's paying off for them now and will in the future. Is there a case there, Dale?
Well, I do think, there is a role clearly for government in terms of education and infrastructure. And yes, we do need to make sure that, those are kept as we invest what we can into those. I do think when you look at investing in economic development, one of the things that we can look to our state and look at one of the big successes is one of the big reasons for the growth in the Dane County area, for example, is the growth of a company called Epic, Epic Systems, who a rapidly growing healthcare technology company that has created multiple spinoffs, is very attractive for young college-educated individuals, and has really been a boom for this area. And so that example we can think about trying to translate that to the Milwaukee area and think about how do we get those kinds of companies to locate in a metro area like Milwaukee, attract the young college graduates, attract the skilled workers. That would create begin to create some sort of a boom for that area. So I think, you know, we can take lessons not only from Minneapolis, but I think we can take lessons from here as well.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go next to Billy in Madison. Billy, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question for your guest is what your guest would think about high-speed rail being used to connect these urban areas in Wisconsin, as opposed to like a corporation like Epic that he said, but using, I mean, if we had a high-speed rail between Milwaukee and Madison, you know, someone living in Milwaukee could conceivably want to work for Epic and stay in Milwaukee.
Billy, thanks a lot for the call. High-speed rail looked like it might happen, didn't end up happening. Dale, is that something that would have, in effect, shortened the distance between those two key players in the state's economy?
I think there's a lot of questions with that that would come with that. With, for example, something like high-speed rail, yes, it gets you back and forth between Madison and Milwaukee or Madison and Green Bay or wherever you're going. But then you have the issue of, okay, once you get there, once you get to that station, then how are we getting then to Epic or wherever we're going? And so is that feasible? Is it really high speed going, you know, through some of these communities? And so there were definitely issues. It's something that could continue to be explored. It's been successful in some areas, not successful in others. So I think that question is still, you know, an open question.
Billy, thanks for that call. We're talking to Dale Knapp from Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, looking at the economic comparisons between Wisconsin and Minnesota. Back to our callers with Tony on the line in Madison. Tony, hi.
Hi, how are you? And thanks for the program, you two. Back in 1980, we started building prisons, and we outspent Minnesota 5-1 between early childhood education and education on our prison system. You can pretty much look at our bloated prison system and splitting up our communities with stronger penalties. Those kinds of things have pretty much trashed Wisconsin.
Tony.
And I was in both communities at the time. There's no fudge in the numbers. They were spending their money on early childhood education and integration while we were splitting people up and spending on prisons.
Tony, thanks for the call. So investment in education there, prisons here. Dale, over more than three decades, he's saying, do we see an impact from that?
Well, you know, that this is actually something that we studied about 5 or 6 years ago. We looked at, we actually did a study comparing Wisconsin to Minnesota in terms of prisons and how we deal with criminals. And he's right that there were two different paths, and we took one path by building prisons. They took another path with more community sanctions. It's unclear what the total economic impact of that was, you know, in terms of jobs, et cetera. But I think, you know, I think you can say that there was definitely, you know, some sort of impact, you know, in terms of the two states in how we've dealt with crime. In many ways, Minnesota is held up as a model of how to deal with crime. We've taken different paths. I think there's a lot of more important reasons as to why the two states have diverged, but that could very well be have had an impact.
Briefly, as we wrap up, Dale, is there a way Wisconsin can capture the Twin Cities magic without, you know, annexing the Twin Cities themselves?
Well, we can't capture that magic because we don't. The Metro Milwaukee area doesn't have the size, but I think there are things that they're doing that we can emulate. And scale down and improve the economy here. But again, we have to remember that our economy is, again, very, as I said at the beginning, very disaggregated. That's not going away. That in and of itself is going to be a drag to some degree on overall growth, and there's really nothing that we can do about that. But we can maximize, you know, sort of what we have.
We'll leave it there. Dale, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right. Glad to be here.
That's Dale Knapp. He's Research Director at the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, talking about the economic similarities and especially differences between Minnesota and Wisconsin.